I want to just speak to you out of my heart again this evening. The things the Lord just, I don't know, raising up on the inside of me or whatever. But worship must be taught. And we're to put our emphasis on that. And the Lord has given me mandate as the oversight over the years to teach people to worship God. But the amazing thing about it, just naturally speaking, it looks like that's been a disaster. You can teach your heart out, but you can't make people worship God, because worship's a spiritual thing. And people have the idea that worship is what you do with music, or worship's what you do with your hands. You can involve those things in worship, but that's not worship. John 4:24 says, God's seeking true worshipers. There's a lot of people keep getting killed. And God's telling them to go back to Egypt. It's going to be all right. When you go back and you lead my people out and take them in to the promised land. Well, without going into all the details of the event, we'll fast in to worship. In other words, we want to get them out of the bondage of sin, but we don't want to take them into an intimate relationship with Jesus to where their desires totally change. And if you don't get people into a position where their desires change, you'll find them falling back or struggling with things of the past. But when you enter into that intimacy with the Lord, it's a life-changing experience. And I thought about how God spoke to Moses at Horeb. He leads the entire nation right back to that mountain. And you know that God spoke to the entire nation. You read it right there in Exodus. God spoke to the entire nation. But you know what the entire nation said? We don't want to hear God speak. Moses, you be the mediator. We're afraid of God. Now, why would you be afraid of God? Because you're not worshiping God. Because there's some things in your life. That's why you'd be afraid of God. Rather than to get things rectified, they'd rather get a mediator. So, God calls Moses up on the mountain. You understand, this was an awesome sight. God coming down on the mountains covered with smoke and fire, and the voice speaking out to the entire nation. I can't imagine how awesome the sight was, but the writer of Hebrews, even Moses said, I feared and trembled. You understand? I mean, that's pretty incredible. And then God calls Moses a power. Get into my presence. Get into my presence. And so this is where God's calling us. This, we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So we don't need a man to mediate between us and God. God says, all right, you have Jesus in you, get into my presence. Come up into my presence. Come up into the mountain. Let me teach you some things. So while Moses is up here having this tremendous encounter with God, the people decide to make their own God. After they've had that awesome encounter, I'm talking about just a short period of time, and they want to fabricate their own worship. And that's exactly what the church, status quo church, is doing today. It's fabricating its own worship. We get the great musicians, the great singers, the light show, even we'll get the smoke of the dry ice and all this other stuff, and we're going to entertain you. I'm old enough, I don't need to be entertained. I just assure you that being in the presence of God, that will satisfy me. You understand? I don't need the boogie-woogie or anything like that. Just get me into the presence of God. And that has a positive effect. The detriment of the nation of Israel. Now, let me back up. The whole law of Moses, the commandments and all this, was to teach the nation how to worship God. Are you aware of that? No other gods before me. Don't make any images. Now, God had already spoken this before they made the calf. How soon we forget. But He is giving them a constitution that is calling forth a worship for God. And in Deuteronomy, He's telling the people, you teach this to your children all the time. In the morning, you get up, you're walking by the way, night, put it on the doorpost. Put it to where you're constantly reminding yourself of God. Now we're talking about a true worship. To where you absolutely adore God to the point that you want to do what God wants you to do. I don't care how great you sing or how good you play or how loud you shout, if your heart is not just given to God, you're not worshiping God. And God is saying that He's wanting us as the body of Christ to teach people to worship. But you know you can't teach them if you don't know how. And that's been the problem all these years. The problem with the nation is it failed to worship God. You see, the founding fathers, even though they weren't men who could walk on water and all this type stuff, God used these men. And they formulated a constitution with attention on the Creator God. Now, that makes it exclusive. There's only one Creator. So you can say they could be talking about any God. No, they can't. They're talking about the Creator God. That is the Almighty God, Jehovah God. And really, if our Constitution was abided by, it would be bringing us into a place to where we're pleasing God in our daily lifestyle. And actually, if you really look at our Constitution, it's based off of the Ten Commandments, and as far as just skeleton-type things, to where we do look to God. We look to God for guidance. But the nation failed to teach it. You know, when I was in school, even in high school, every morning we read the Bible and prayed. Every day. Every day of school we read the Bible and prayed. You know what you did? You kept God before the nation. You follow me? But it's interesting, and I don't understand this, but it's interesting how that the perverts got all the money and all the power and took control. How did it happen? I don't know how it happened, other than the church failed in its mission. We didn't stand up to people like Madeline O'Hare who wanted prayer out of school. We didn't stand up to the people who wanted the commandments off of the wall. We didn't stand up to the people that thought the nativity scene was offensive. And these things are just little pointers to worship. You understand? They're just little icons. You don't worship the scene. It reminds you of who to worship. You follow me? And so we've got to get back to where we're putting the people's attention on God. Now this afternoon, I had something interesting to happen, and I'm going to have to go back because it's still sort of blowing me away. But I was going back and reading some of the things the Lord had spoken to me in the last year. Very interesting. Very interesting. Books. It's an interesting thing to me that even with Bible colleges, rather than to teach people the Bible, they'd rather teach them, have them read books about the Bible. You understand? And we've got to learn to put the emphasis on the Word of God. How can you worship God if you don't know truth? Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. Now, we know the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. You can't truly worship God outside the Holy Spirit. You can go through the motions, but you don't have any kind of intimacy. It's the Spirit of God that gives you the intimacy with God because He is God. And then the Word is truth. And so it is an impossibility to worship God outside the Spirit and the Word. Now, understand what I mean by the Word. I know there's places that don't have access to what you and I have, but they have a Word from the Lord. And you hold on to the Word from the Lord. And the more time you spend with the Lord, the more Word you get from the Lord. And the Lord is wanting us to teach people to worship. You know, some of the most criticism that I've had in ministry was when we were, at that particular time, a lot of times our services would just be taken over by the Holy Spirit and just operating by the Spirit. And people got critical of it. Let me tell you something. The presence of God makes people uncomfortable. Especially when you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. You know, people are so carnal. They don't know the Spirit of God, so they can't understand what's going on. And they think, that's crazy. You know, people are crazy. The bottom line is, no, they don't understand that God is well pleased when you just yield yourself totally to Him. Now, there's balance in all this. Obviously, you just can't stereotype every service and never have any word to come. It doesn't come out of command. It comes out of desire. So where your heart's desire is to the Lord, and you start longing for the Lord. And so when you do that, you get your mind on the Lord. But you just find yourself all of a sudden spontaneously saying, Lord, I should have loved you. And I want to thank you for your goodness, for your wonderful work. And shouldn't that be the one you worship? But you know, it has to be taught. You have to teach children, and then new converts are children, right? And so it has to be taught. But we're not teaching them to just develop a love relationship with the Lord. Hunger for the Word. What does the psalmist say? As the heart pants for the brook, so my soul longs for you. My inward man is longing for you, not going through the motions of religion to impress people or to make yourself feel good. You know, most people, if you stop the music, they don't know how to worship. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times music gets in my way because it's not worship. But when the music is worship, and they prophesy with the instruments, read it in the Psalms, prophesy on the harp. And I tell you, when I start playing by inspiration of God, it does something for me. Now, I've been talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to tell you this. I know your word says that the Spirit of God in me will bear witness to truth. And I said, I'm going to be fair with you. I'm not bearing witness to much of these days. I try to watch this. I try to watch that. I listen to this. It's like the old cartoon. You ain't moving me, boy. It's just going through the motions. And God is not wanting us to go through the motions. God's wanting us to worship Him. You understand? You know, Jesus talking to the woman there at the well, the Samaritan woman, and he calls out some things. I perceive you're a prophet. And then she goes right into, we say that God's to be worshipped here. You Jews say He's to be worshipped there. And that's what brought the comment that Jesus made. It's not geographical location. You got to know who you're worshiping. You understand? He said, we know who we're worshiping. The Jews. We know the God we're worshiping. Do you know the God you're worshiping? Do you intimately know that God, and are you doing it His way? If you're not doing it His way, it's a pseudo worship. His way is right out of the innermost being. His way is where your heart yearns. And I don't know how to explain that. I'm by nature, I'm a very private person. I like alone time. And when it comes to me and God, I don't want an audience. And so I get alone, I'll weep before the Lord. I'll sing to the Lord. I'll do whatever. But I don't need just spectators. You understand? It's a very precious time. It's an intimate time, and I want to worship Him in a way that's pleasing to Him. How can I tell people if I don't know how? And I'm going to tell you, it's frustrating when you try to teach. I know. Just love God. This is how you worship God. Love Him. But you can't make people love Him. You can't bring people into that thing. They're still holding on to the flesh. I'm not willing to let go of me and just throw caution to the wind. Here am I, Lord. You bought me. You paid for me. You made me. What do you want to do with me? You understand? We worship You. Not just sing to You. That's good. Not just thank You. That's good. Not just praise You. That's good. But absolutely adore You. To where You got me. You had me from hello. I'm going to tell you what. When God illuminates Himself to your heart, it's awesome. And it's life-changing. And I know the stages of my life. I know the changes in my life. And I know I had an encounter with God on my job in 1980. And I fully believe this, and I've said it many times, that the man who left home that morning died on the job. He never returned. Because, boy, God showed up and it changed me dramatically. So dramatic that you misunderstood by everybody. but God. You know what you do? You just put your attention on God, and you just develop that love relationship with God, and it doesn't matter what anybody else says. You're just happy anyway. You're happy in Him. You know Him. You're taught to worship Him. Now, in light of all that, here again, thinking about the nation of Israel, coming out of Egypt, and God is developing them into a nation. You know, they're birthed, I understand that. But prior to this, they've served as slaves. And now they're out there building what's necessary for the nation. God's given them the Constitution. But you know, it didn't matter what their occupation was, they were to worship God. Have you ever thought about this? What did Abraham do for a living? Pastor a church? No. What did he do? I mean, this guy, he grew cattle, sheep, whatever. I mean, farmer, rancher, whatever you want to call him. And look at Isaac and look at Jacob. And yet they're called the anointed of God in Psalm 105. Anytime you hear that, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm, it's referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go back and read it. And I got to thinking about different characters in the Bible. What was Moses? Keeping sheep. And then God had him to lead the nation and to teach the nation on how to worship Him. And appointed Aaron as the director of worship, the high priest. And his sons had people bringing sacrifice. Did you know that the activity of that nation, the tabernacle was in the center. So the activity revolved around God. And that's the success of any nation, is when the activity of the nation revolves around God. Righteousness exalts a nation. You understand? And so when you get God to the forefront, and you're putting the attention on worshiping God, loving God, then it goes well with a nation. And this is what happened with the United States. We became the greatest nation and the most powerful nation on earth because of our relationship with God as a nation. But when we walked away, we didn't deem Him worthy of worship. We have other things we want to worship. We've made stuff. We're going to worship that. We've acquired stuff. We're going to worship that. Not to even mention all the arena of sports and all the other things that just absolutely has captivated America, and people have their idols. Human beings as their idols. They can tell you more about the stats of some team than they can about the Word of God. And so what are you worshiping? I don't care if you go to church or not. You're not worshiping God if you don't know more about God. You follow me? God is wanting us, number one, learn to worship. How do you do it? By experience. By experience. It's not that there is a form that you tell people, do this, do this, do this, and do this. It's you tell people, love God enough to spend time with Him. Just love Him enough to spend time with Him. And the more time you spend with Him, the more developed you become in the love of God. And really, the more time you want to spend with Him. If I had my way, we'd be ministering every night, or being subjected to ministry every day. Every day. You know, when I was doing a lot of traveling in other nations, you're ministering every day, sometimes several times a day. And I don't get burnt out on that. You understand? I'll tell you what you do. It keeps you honed. You're much sharper in the things of the Spirit. And so when you walk out of that setting where people have, they go to church every day, and you come into America, that you do good to get them to come one time a week. And I'm going to tell you what, it was always a major letdown to me to come back and see the lack of desire. You go to church all the time. Is something wrong with that? But the average Christian thinks there is. They think you go to church too much. Oh, a bunch of fanatics. I know you've heard that word, right? It's all right to go to every sports event and make a fool out of yourself. You can be a sports fanatic, and that's a glorious thing. But when you love God more than other people do, and you just want to express your love for God, then you're stupid from the eyes of the world. But beloved in the eyes of God, God wants us to learn to worship and then be contagious. And you, here's how you teach people. You just tell them what works for you. You know, it's like the madman of Gadara that Jesus delivered from the demons and wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus says, no. You go back to your family and friends and you tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. Go talk to them about the Lord. You understand? You're a walking testimony of the power of God. Tell people how you got delivered. And tell people how much you love God. Tell people how good it is to be free and not to be running around in the cemetery and being demon-possessed and all that. Tell people how good it is. It's much better to worship God than the things of the world. You understand? But I believe that the key to the success of any entity, and especially dealing with a nation, is to get people's attention back on worshiping God. I'm not interested in what Congress is doing or none of this other stuff. I'm not interested at all. I'm interested on worshiping God. You follow me? Now, if God has my attention is captivated by God, then God, who knows everything, will direct my path and have me to do what I need to do. If there's something I need to do, then God will let me know by the Spirit to do that. I don't need the lying news to tell me anything. I need the Spirit of truth to tell me everything. You with me? And to where that has no interest. This has all interest. And this is where God is wanting to take us. Worship has to do with interest. When you get interested enough in God, you'll begin to worship God. You'll pursue God. And it's like the song was playing earlier, the more I seek, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. As a matter of fact, I just want to get in your presence and stay there. Really, that's what the song is saying. I just want to get there in your presence where you are and stay there. Because it's overwhelming. You understand? And I would like for people to experience things that I've experienced with just that overwhelming love of God. I mean, I don't even know how to put it in words. I remember I came in one Sunday night after service, and we were actually at another church then, and it's been just a tremendous, tremendous service. And all the way home in the car, I just was basking in the presence of God. Just, I was by myself, just talking to the Lord out loud. And then, went in and got ready and went to bed. And I'm laying there in the bed, and I'm just thinking about how much I love God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. So I got up, and I went in the bathroom. I closed the door and just laid down on the floor. I said, Lord, I love you so much. I'd just like to put my arms around you and just hold you. And I'm going to tell you what, the presence of God filled that room and scared the sock off. Now I better qualify that. It was so awesome. Not a frightful fear, but it was so awesome I was afraid to open my eyes. I wanted to get in the presence of God in the most powerful way, and He showed up, and then after He left, I'm thinking, why didn't I open my eyes? Fear of the Lord. But there's been encounters like that along the way. And sometimes, I mean, I might be sitting behind the desk sometimes and all of a sudden just start weeping. Just a sense of the presence of the Lord. You're just aware of it. And you just start loving on the Lord. You understand? Now we're talking about worship. You follow me? Now this is true worship. Then you know, sometimes I might be walking around here just singing in the Spirit. I'll sing in the shower. A lot. I like it. Lord does. But we don't ask anybody's opinion. Okay? You know what? You know, you develop in keeping your mind on the Lord. Start your day with your mind on the Lord and keep it there all day long. We haven't arrived, but I can tell you right now, we're on the journey. You understand? I want to draw nearer and nearer to Him. Now, I made a statement earlier. Cut the enemy's communication off. That's how you do it. When you put your attention on God and worship to the devil, so how do I close the door? Get in God. James says it this way, you draw near to God. You draw near to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You get under Him and you resist the devil. He has no avenue and he has to leave. So, God says, teach people to worship. And I don't believe He was just saying that to me because He was giving that to me. I believe it's prophetic. Teach people to worship. That's an instruction. That's an admonition. Teach people to worship. But you can't do it if you don't. And much of our teaching is by demonstration. Your lifestyle. Okay? So everybody in the nation of Israel is worshiping God. It didn't matter what their occupation was. You understand? Only God. Worshiping God. Teach people to worship God. I worship God just as much as a mechanic as I do now. Man, we've had some good times. Just right there in that shop.